report, hopefully as a witness for or against. But if you ever been to court where somebody's brought accusations against you, it really, in America, we've had a pretty equal justice system in general. You see the misjustice with for Scales, and hopefully it's an equal court. It is a just court, and it is based on righteousness and justice, which I will remind you is the foundation of God's throne. You can see that in Psalms. That the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. And yet, here it is, Acts 6. At the end there, we're going to kind of go backwards here a little bit. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. The unclean things go out of the city. They're casting him out as a sinful thing. Like casting your refuse into the garbage pit, as even Gary mentioned this morning in Gehenna. They would burn those things outside the city in the Valley of Hinnom. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Man, the last words of Stephen is, "Don't hold this against them." Well, I decided to show you the end here because it's not going to be any surprise to you. If you've been in the church for a long time and have read Acts, you know exactly what happens to Stephen. And yet, here is a man who, just in the prior chapter, was showing not just wonders, but great wonders. Great miraculous signs. Remember when he was chosen because he was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He wasn't half full. He just didn't have a little bit of the Spirit. He had all of them. And wisdom. Stephen here, again in 6:8, again is mentioned, Stephen full of grace and power was doing great wonders and signs among the people. How could he be full of grace and power? He has the grace or the favor of God because he was full of the Holy Spirit. When you have the Spirit, you have the character of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes it takes long. Some of us, me, I'll just talk about me. It's taken a long time for the Spirit to have his way, for the fruits to come out. Right up front, you have these seven men who were called to help the church. And Stephen was among them. In fact, he was ahead of them. And he was full of the grace and power. And yet, within this same chapter, the Lord's going to take him out. What do you mean the Lord is going to take him out? Well, we believe in the absolute sovereignty of God, right? Either God is a little bit sovereign or sort of sovereign, or he's capital big S. He's absolutely sovereign, right? That's the God that we preach here at this church. He is absolutely sovereign. Nothing goes by him without his decree on it. And in one chapter, this beautiful man who we would all love to see preach here and help us here, he's going to be taken out. Lord, I think, I'm not sure if this makes a lot of sense. Does it make sense to you? He was chosen as one of the seven, and then the next thing you know, the next chapter, he is gone. Dead. Killed. In a drastic way. He had the presence presence of the Holy Spirit. He had the character of the Holy Spirit. What he will say to the court is going to be mentioned next week. Next week's title is called Tearing Down Statues. And we're going to talk about them tearing down statues. And what Stephen preached to them. But accusations are being brought against him about not what he's going to say, but what he did. What he said, more particularly. So you have this man working within the church, working in the community, and the people seeing the great miracles and noticing this eloquent man full of the Spirit and loving his people and serving them. He was part of the seven to serve. Wonderful man. Hey, let's go kill him. Hey, let's accuse him and bring him to court. And they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men. So what happened was he was teaching his group. He was teaching, and we're going to talk about his synagogue here in a little bit. But he was teaching, and all of a sudden, a group of men said, okay, we're going to dispute him. And they got into an argument with Stephen, and they couldn't hold up. They couldn't hold up. So what's the old saying? Remember the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them? This is the opposite. If you can't join them, beat him. And that's what they're going to do. They couldn't stand up to his wisdom, because remember, James in other places says that wisdom is from above, and there's the spirit of wisdom, and that's from the Holy Spirit, and truth only comes from heaven and from the Holy Spirit. And so he's full of the Holy Spirit. So he's bringing truth and wisdom, and they couldn't hold up to it. So what do? Bow to it? No, we're going to kill him. We're going to take him to court. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council, and they set up false witnesses. It's the same exact thing they did to Jesus. We've already mentioned this in Acts, haven't we? Because it's the same exact council that came after Peter and John and the rest of the disciples. We've already seen this. But see, before we saw a little bit of accusations and then a little bit of prison, and then now we're going to see a murder. You see how this progresses? You ever notice that in the first part of Genesis, this progression of sin, where Adam and Eve, they ate of the fruit, and then Cain killed Abel, and then by Genesis 6, all the flesh is evil? There's a progression once people start going down a path. Concerns me for this country. I'm concerned for this country. Coming up on this 4th of July. We're concerned about what happens next. Because we think we've got things going our way, and the church is doing really well for the last 200 years, and those kinds of things. I mean, we really haven't been, you know, messed with and all these things. And now the Supreme Court, even the conservatives, are changing their tune and changing our laws instead of, you know, interpreting them and those kinds of things. They're changing them. And you can't join them, beat them. Beat them. What did he teach? What stirred up these people? We're going to talk about specifically who these people are that brought the accusations and Stephen to court. To an already stacked court. He has no chance. Lord, can you bail him out? No, there's no bail money here. There's nothing I'm going to do. The Lord's not going to step in. Stephen's going to court, and he's going to a stacked court. And we'll talk about those who accuse him in a few minutes. Acts 6. And this is kind of a paraphrase. They said he taught them. In other words, they're going to say, this is what he said to us. This is what Stephen was teaching them. Okay? We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Now, there's nothing specific there, right there. We'll get into some specifics here in a minute. But they start right here. He said bad things about God and Moses. And right there, I mean, it's like, you know, let's stir the crowd up. Let's use the greatest accusation. He's blasphemous. I mean, you can't get any worse than that. We don't have any specifics yet. We haven't gotten there yet. But we're going to stir the crowd up right now by saying he's a blasphemer. He's ungodly. Right there, they're calling for death. Because in the Jewish law, if you're blasphemous and you claim to be a believer or a Jew, you're stoned to death. So they're calling for death right off the bat. They're stacking the accusations right off the bat. It's like the prosecutor coming up and saying, well, he's a murderer. He's a murderer. We'll get to the facts later, but that's just know this, jury. The 12, he's a murderer. And he's talking against Moses and God. Can't get any worse than that. In number two, this man never ceases to speak words against this holy place. Against Jerusalem, but in more particular, the temple. Against the temple. Now, why is this so interesting? Now, you're going to find out here that while number one is absolutely false, number two through five, there's a little bit of room here because something has changed from, and you know this very well, from the Old Testament to the New. So when Stephen stands up and says, we have this Messiah, we have this new Moses that has come, and he's come and brought us liberty, liberty, real liberty. He has moved into your hearts. And that your heart is the temple of God. Paul will say that we have this treasure in jars of clay. We have this, Paul calls it the tent, and he calls himself, he has this tent. And Jesus Christ put on this tent, and he is the Shekinah glory. When he comes through the eastern gate, that will be a fulfillment of so many prophecies. He will come through the eastern gate as the Shekinah glory. He is the Shekinah glory, and you have the glory of God, the Spirit of God living in you. Don't teach me that stuff, because see, he's in the temple. He's not even there anymore. Ezekiel 10. Ezekiel 10, the Holy Spirit, God left the temple. Don't you guys read your Old Testament? Council, Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes of the law, you law keepers and givers, don't you understand your history? In Ezekiel 10, God left the temple. Therefore, that building is empty. The holy place is empty. It is not holy anymore. So when Stephen is saying, you have the Spirit of God living within you, if you are his, he's saying the temple is moved. Oh, don't tell that to the Jews. Don't be telling that to the Old Testament lawgiver keepers and givers. The ones that not only keep the law, but add to the law. So Stephen, in effect, is saying, well, I mean, this is a nice place to visit. And they did. They went up this Solomon's portico, and they met by the temple and outside and the courts there, and they all still gathered there at the temple, or outside the temple, in Solomon's courts, because it was a meeting place, and because the Lord said, go to Jerusalem first. So they're gathered around there, and Stephen is preaching a good word. That, you know, that's a nice building, and it's fine. We'll talk about that building in a minute, but first of all, God is not in that building. Oh, that's a bad deal. That's a bad deal. and the law. They preached, he preached against the law. He spoke words against the law. Yes, because it was a law of death. Paul calls it the condemnation. Now, again, I always like to make the case that when God came and gave the law, it was a law of grace because it showed them their sin. And it showed humankind and mankind we can't live by God's law. We are sinners. There is none good, no, not one. I tried my best and I failed. And that's what God wants us to know. You can't do it. Now, he chose these people, and if they could have just understood that, listen, I'm going to show my miracles and my wonder and my grace through you, but it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. You got to keep the feasts. You got to reveal my son in your feasts. Help the world understand we're headed someplace and it's not good. And yet, the nth degree is good because Jesus Christ will die for your sins because of the things we can't do. So Jesus is this wonderful new Moses with the wonderful new law of liberty, and he brings the Spirit. And so the Spirit lives in you, the holy place is out, and now the law is out. We don't have to keep the law. We do keep the law, don't we? I mean, don't you want to keep the law? I want to, because it pleases God. I don't want to steal your stuff. I don't want to covet your stuff. I don't want to do these other things that are horrible. And I definitely don't want to do those things that God only gave only to the Jews. I can remind you of those, but remember this, that the Sabbath was given to the Jews. But every day is a Sabbath for you. You are in a Sabbath day rest. You don't give tithe. You don't find the word tithe in the New Testament. Because you give according to your liberal heart, your wonderful, loving heart. I'm going to give. Paul specifically says it. Give to what you have. Give according to what you need. Give according to what you want. I love it. Not one part of the law do you keep. If you keep one, you're guilty of all. Or if you can't keep one. So it's not the law. And so there's this law of liberty. And they're saying, well, see, he threw out the law. Well, in a way, they're right. Is that right? I mean, Paul says the law is dead. So in reality, they're right. But he's not speaking against the law. He's telling them what the law was for. And now there's liberty in Christ. What else is this man teaching? For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place. So now this building is empty, and it's a nice place to meet, and it's beautiful up there on the hill. But now it's going to be destroyed. Now, again, this is only half truth. Because Jesus Christ said that it would be destroyed. He mentioned the temple coming down. He was talking about his temple, but he was also talking about that temple. There's that double meaning. The double meaning. You Jews love this building. This is your God. You think I'm there. I'm not there. In fact, that building's coming down. Oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. See, what's going to happen is 70 AD, which is some 35 to 40 years from this place, from when they're speaking right now. 70 AD, the temple's coming down. Jerusalem is coming down. It's going to be torn down. You know what happens when the temple comes down? The Pharisees get dispersed. The scribes don't have a job anymore, except maybe in a synagogue here or there. And the Sadducees, I mean, they are Sadducee because they have no they have no hope of the resurrection, but now they don't even have the temple. They were to take care of the temple. And the Sanhedrin, those 70, the council, where are they going? Well, most of them will die. and Jerusalem is dispersed. There is none of this stuff left. They're lucky to get out with some Torahs, and there's none of this left. It's almost like, you know what this looks like? Very like? It's almost like Jeremiah. When Jeremiah was saying the Babylonians are coming to come take Jerusalem, and the Lord said, go into exile with them. And what happened to Jeremiah? Thrown in the cistern, ended up in Egypt, ended up probably beheaded or at least killed with the sword. Because he stood up against the king and saying, look, God is telling you to go into exile. And God is going to send Jerusalem into exile. That's how he spread the word of God. He's going to spread them out. He's going to get them away from this holy place. And these people are saying, don't you tell me this, just like the king did in Jeremiah's time. And then finally, and we'll change the customs that Moses delivered to us. No more feasts. No more doing this. No more doing that. You don't need to do that anymore. You see, if you think about this, this tears down everything that the Jews stood for, that the Jews lived for, that the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and everybody was living for, everything they lived for, God is going to tear down. And he must. He must tear it down because of the spiritual gift of freedom and liberty in Christ. And so, in other words, he was telling them the truth. He was telling them the words of wisdom. Remember, he was full of wisdom, and he was giving them the wisdom of God. In other words, he was giving them the words of caution. This place is coming down. These things are going away. Except the new covenant, which, by the way, was promised to you very people who are accusing me. Isn't this interesting? That he's coming to his own people and Jesus Christ's own people, the Jews, and saying, I told you this was coming. I'm telling you the truth. I'm giving you words of caution. And he's giving them words of prophecy. And they are calling it nonsense. This temple is going away. These things are going to change. It was prophetic. It was truth. And they accused him of lying. In spite of the great miracles and wisdom that he had. So it would be like, it's interesting, we have this church and we have this man come in, back seven, and we've appointed these seven men, and everybody agreed to be seven men. And the disciples laid their hands on him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and we watched these seven men. And Stephen, man, he just kind of stands out there and just tells the truth, and he's wonderful integrity, just a wonderful, godly man. Listen to this man speak and preach. He sounds like an apostle, doesn't he? He's doing the miracles and signs that an apostle would do. I want to suggest to you that he was a particular man who was sent to a particular people. A particular people of a particular time to come. Watch this. Verse 9. We're backing up here a little bit. Some of those who belong to the synagogue of the freemen, as it was called, and the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia, Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. What does this have to do with anything? Well, those are Greeks. Those are all Greek Jews. Those are all from synagogues within the old Greek Empire. And they spoke Greek. Oh, that reminds me of who Stephen was sent to serve. Remember, the widows of the Greeks weren't getting their food, and So, Steve, can you help your own people? Yep, you bet I can. And he steps up full of wisdom and grace and miraculous signs, and he's helping his own people, and his own people kill him. By the way, I'm sorry for this. I'm not sure why it's so fuzzy today. But you see up here, see, Alexandria is down here. And Cyrene and Cilicia and all over here. Cilicia was one of the synagogues. That red circle right there, Paul was from there. I think, this is my personal opinion, I think Paul knew Stephen. In fact, I'm pretty convinced of it. Because Paul was from up there. One of the synagogues is up there. Those synagogues around that area were visiting Jerusalem, and a young man named Paul is standing by, and he's from Cilicia. And his own people kill him. Now, next week, we're going to talk about a statue coming down, and then in chapter 8, we're going to talk about Paul. Because Saul comes right after this. And it's going to give us some insight exactly what God was doing. Why would you take this powerhouse out of the Greeks? Why would you do this, Lord? Why would you do this? Who is really on trial here? Is Stephen on trial? Oh, he's being tested. He's being tried like silver and gold. But he's not on trial. The Greek Jews are on trial. And they're bringing the accusations just like the Jewish Israeli Jews brought accusations. Now, as you see, you got the whole world of the Jews turning on Jesus Christ. Because, see, really, Jesus Christ is on trial. Jesus Christ is on trial, and Stephen is a witness. And we've been mentioning that for the last couple of few months. In fact, I think even the last year, haven't we? That you and me are witnesses. Isaiah 40 through 44, several times, there's a court going on. And you and I are witnesses. Stephen, you're up. Well, who's calling you? Actually, it's God calling him. Stephen, get up and witness for me. And he already started when he helped those widows. And he already started when he was preaching to his own people, the Greeks. And to Paul. You're on trial. Are the charges true, Stephen? How do you plead? In general, yes, they're true. In general, except for number one, I never said anything against God and Moses. The rest, you can make a case for, but if you look in your Old Testament, God said they would come, the new covenant. The lawyer, which he doesn't have, but pretend Stephen had a lawyer. And he said, Judge, can we get a sidebar? Stephen, here's my advice. Say no. Say no, because this court is stacked, and you are going to die. You're going to get the death penalty because they already mentioned the word blasphemous. You're going to die. Stephen, say no. He stands up. We're going to find out in chapter 7. He says yes 100 times. 100 times yes. Why? Because he's full of the Holy Spirit. Luke 21. Make up your mind. Now, folks, let's pray right now as these words from Jesus are directly to the disciples and now to you, okay? The Holy Spirit said this to his disciples, and now he's saying it to you. Take this right to your heart. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand how to defend yourselves. For I will give you speech and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. Now, in my lifetime, I don't see this coming. However, caveat. I didn't see the riots coming, or COVID-19, Wuhan virus, the Chinese virus. I didn't see any of that coming to you. I didn't see the Supreme Court legislation a couple of weeks ago, did you? I didn't see it coming, again, from a conservative justice. It came. It came. What am I to do? Lord, I didn't see that coming. Don't worry about what you're going to do. Worry about what you know and who you know. You know, if you're reading your Bible, and you're going to church, and you're being part of this living organism, and you have your liberty in Christ, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say. You already know what to say. Jesus is my Lord. I'm the new temple. I'm one of them. There's lots of us. And the Lord lives within me, and I pray I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I know that Christ died for my sins, and that he's going to come back, and he's actually going to judge the earth, including anybody, Jew or Gentile, who does not put their trust in him. Isn't that your witness? We are witnessed because Paul said it's clearly illustrated. It is clearly pictured and painted for you, Paul is saying. It's clearly illustrated that Christ was crucified for you and that he was buried. That's not the end. And that he was raised on the third day. Hallelujah. There's freedom. We're free. You are free. You are absolutely free. Are you surprised that they want to change and actually get rid of your constitution? Well, it's a beautifully written document. We've had a beautiful government in general. I was driving to work this morning, and I was thinking, man, I've had a really good life in this beautiful America. I gave 22 years to the Air Force, and I had a great career. I mean, it was a wonderful career. It's been wonderful until 5 years ago, 10 years ago, until 3 months ago, 4 weeks ago, until I woke up this morning and looked at the news. I didn't look at the news. I'll look at it. I'll look at it later. This is a temporary freedom. This is a limited freedom. It's based on what men's concept of government is. Yes, it tried to take what was a wonderful system that was really part theocratic, God-centered justice system. Much of it's Roman, some of it's Greek. They tried their best to put this all together. We the people. We have our rights. We have our rights. So I'm going to tear down your statue. I'm going to rob your store. You see, this is temporary, and we love this temporary. God, I am so grateful for this temporary freedom, this wonderful last bastion of republic, democracy, where we could come Sundays and Wednesdays and whenever we want, special days, to preach and teach and raise your group voices to the roofs if you want. Yell how much you love God. Dance in the streets. You couldn't do that in very many other places. You can still do it here, but not in Indianapolis. We heard him say, day after day, Jesus said, I sat in the temple teaching you, and you did not seize me then. The chief priest and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus Christ. Who's on trial? It's not you. It will never be you on trial, but it will be your faith as a witness to Jesus Christ. And so whatever comes, whether it's your friend or your family or just a casual meeting, you stand up to that witness. Not arrogantly, but boldly. Not stepping back. We are not those who shrink back, but we stand firm, Ephesians 5, in our armor. Lord, test me, that I may come out as gold. The chief priest and the old council were seeking false testimony against Jesus. Mark 14, many bore false witness against him. And then Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And you walked around like he did. In some great aspect, I pray. We're walking around in the liberty that Christ had. He wasn't arrogant, but he knew the truth. He was the truth. It reminds me of Daniel 6. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find the ground for a complaint against Daniel. That lovely man. Well, Lord, what are you going to do with him? Oh, we're going to throw him into the lion's den. Now, he escaped. We don't have any clue what we will face. Jude 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I find it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the United States flag of America. No. Although we will, and we do. Jude says, contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. That's your Declaration of Independence. That's your freedom. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sexuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. I think that there were people who crept into those synagogues or who went to maybe Stephen's synagogue or the porticoes, and they're listening to Stephen and saying, Nope, there's a problem here with Stephen. There's a problem here with Stephen. Our real Declaration of Independence is written in the gospel. My message, Paul will finish here. Paul is going to say, my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom. He's talking about humanly wisdom, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith would not rest on men's wisdom. So that your faith would not rest on the Declaration of Independence. However much we like it and love it, and I do. But if we rest on that, it is not on God's power. God's power among the mature, however we speak a message of wisdom, but not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. When I was listening to Gary again this morning, it was up to the point where the Assyrian, and he mentioned the Assyrian, because he was leading the Assyrians who were coming against Israel, and Israel decided to lean on Egypt. And the Lord said, don't go to that constitution. Do not lean on men's wisdom. That is no freedom at all. In fact, that is a prison. That is a judgment against you. You notice how Stephen's face is shining? Even before he gets into chapter 7, way before, well before he gets to the stoning issue, right at the end there, verse 15, his face is shining already. Now, I know this is strange to me. It's very strange to me. Because again, you have this man of wisdom and miracles and wonderful things, and then he's about ready to be accused, and his face is shining. You would think that people would say, time out. Let's have our own sidebar, because this is a problem. He looks like an angel right now. I don't think I'm going to be throwing any rocks at that. And yet they do. You see, this is the darkness we're up against. There's no fighting this. It's a stacked court. We thought we had that LGBT thing, knocked down. We thought we had this knocked down. And we think Trump's going to do this and all this other stuff. And the Lord's saying, and Gary and I talk about this all the time, is the U.S. judged already? I think it is. You see, because when it's judged, God's decree is set, and then things begin to fall, and things have begun to fall. Now, if a nation who calls upon his name repents, then there's newness. We'll see. Do not rely on men's wisdom. And I'm just going to say this, do not be afraid of what is ahead. Do not be concerned. And in fact, Lord, if I can witness like Stephen, I'm not saying what he said. I'm not saying that I look like an angel. I'm not saying that I'm stoned. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But if I can simply be a witness, I would be grateful. Holy Spirit, let me be that witness. Be that witness. Lord, we worship you and honor you, and we thank you for the opportunity to stand here in this safe building, on this safe corner of safe Yankton, in this safe county, and in this safe state. We're safe, and yet you are going to give us a time to witness to somebody somewhere. Help us to be a sure witness. Help us to be unafraid to speak up for your name and to call upon your name and to be full of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us. We're not Stephens. We're not meant to be. We're meant to be witnesses where you have given us. And we pray this in your holy name because you have given us your name, Yahweh. El Shaddai, Elohim, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. We come to your name, which is a strong tower, and it makes us unafraid to live in light. Thank you for the freedom that you've given us, Lord, and may we dance in it and sing in it and love you for it in Jesus' name.